The Epistle for the Third Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Brethren, be you therefore imitators of God, as very dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us, an offering and a fragrant sacrifice to God, to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as becomes the saints, or obscenity or foolish talk or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light. Walk then as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. And then the gospel is taken from that according to St. Luke chapter 11. At that time Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke. And the crowds marveled, but some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils." But others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away his whole armor on which he was depending, and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of a resting place. And finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house which I left.' And when he has come, he finds the place swept. And then he goes and takes seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass, as he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps that gave thee suck.' But he said, 'Rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So a few considerations today on the Gospel. And a particular group. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Gospel today, casts out a devil of a man who was dumb. He had a devil and he was dumb. And the devil is cast out. There are some people in the crowd that then say, "He cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And others, hearing these things, say, within themselves, and perhaps some openly as well, obviously there are people that think that he's casting out devils by the devil. And so our Lord should show a sign. He should perform some kind of miracle, some special sign that can leave absolutely no doubt that he is doing the work of God. It is of these souls that we wish to speak today. There are some people who simply know how to find evil everywhere. They find evil in the performance of a miracle. Here Christ has performed a miracle. He has cast out the devil. What could be better than that, than to cast out the devil from a man and fill him with grace? To make a man who was unable to speak, to be able to speak correctly. Certainly this is something good, and yet there are people who will find something wrong with it. A word of warning today concerning these kinds of souls. In the majority of instances, we find evil about things that are not very important. And the majority of these souls, when the test comes, will be damned. And they need to change. Now, these souls are prevalent in our society. Souls that simply find something wrong with everything. Who designed this road? Who's in charge here? The employer doesn't know what he's doing. Here in the church, who's in charge of building this church? They don't know what they're doing. What's going on here? How come you got, what's with these pews? Why do they put the altar there? It should be over a couple of inches. Why did you spend all that money down in the basement? Why spend the money on these stone columns and so on? What are you doing? Who's in charge here? How come they put the building there? Why isn't it over here? Who designed the parking lot? I drove out on the highway and there's a bend in the road where there needs to be no bend. There's a tree. Stupid. I go to work and the employer doesn't know what he's doing. At the home, the kids don't listen. The husband doesn't listen. The wife doesn't listen. It was my birthday, and it rained. I hate rain. We always find something wrong with every situation in life. These souls, barring a miracle of grace, will not be saved. They are in grave danger of losing their souls. And we're not even discussing mortal sins. You know that in order to go to hell, you have to commit a mortal sin. But the devil lays foundations. He prepares us to go down a path. See evil, think evil, hear evil, be immersed in evil. And then when goodness itself casts out a devil, when goodness itself makes a dumb man to be able to speak, we will find something wrong with it. It happened in the city of Jerusalem. There were many miracles before the year 70 AD when Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. Christ himself prophesied that the city of Jerusalem would be destroyed. It's in Matthew 24. And then 30 years later, it was destroyed. And many people at that time remembered the prophecy of our Lord that was given 30 years ago. And they said, this city is going to be destroyed. We need to leave the city. And there were miracles and there were signs in the heavens. There were even signs in the sky. And people would look up to the signs and say, oh, it doesn't mean anything. And they found a way to twist all things to evil, and they refused to leave the city of Jerusalem. And when the Romans came in and surrounded that city, they then destroyed it, and the Jews inside died in total despair. It's interesting reading. You get a chance to read Flavius Josephus's The Jewish War, the history of that war. Flavius Josephus was not a Catholic. He was a Jew. But he writes an interesting description of the events of that war. There were so many signs, and they turned away. When the time comes, when God gives us the sign that we need to convert, or the sign that we need to change our ways, we will not see it. By whose power did he cast out the devil? I think it was by Beelzebub's power. And then Christ speaks to them in words that they do not understand. He says it in several places of the gospel. That seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. He speaks to the crowd, and then he explains to his apostles what he meant. Well, immediately after this, our Lord speaks to the crowd, seeing their thoughts. Every kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. That makes sense. That speaks to the Beelzebub crowd. The crowd that says, he casts out devil by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Christ responds to them by saying, no, a kingdom cannot be divided against itself. And the kingdom of hell is not divided. We wish it was, but it is not. The kingdom of hell is united under one's commander, and his name is Lucifer. And he directs his devils out into the world to remove good and to convert people to sin. And he's working together with all the devils in unity in order to bring souls to sin. So there he speaks to the crowd of the Pharisees that say he casts out the devil by Beelzebub. But then he speaks to the other crowd, those that are looking for a sign. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. This is the problem of the soul that finds evil with everyone else. You see, I am fine. The only reason I had a bad day yesterday was because there was a car accident as I was driving to the birthday party of the little nephew or whatever it was that I had to bring to a birthday party. It was a car accident. It was delayed me for 2 hours. And then when we got there, the food was all gone. And then when I got back home, if it wasn't for the food not being gone, if it wasn't for the traffic jam, if it wasn't for the fact that there was this really crotchety and rotten person that showed up at the party, it really would have been a wonderful day yesterday. These are the people that Christ is speaking to. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. The property of my soul is undisturbed. I am fine. You know, these kinds of souls go to confession. I got mad 4 times last week. But you know what? They are not sorry. They're sorry that the anger happened. They are not sorry for their sin. They're sorry that there was a traffic jam that caused them to be angry. They're sorry that their husband yelled at them, which caused them to be angry. Sorry that their wife was nagging, which caused them to be angry. They're sorry about the wife. They're sorry about the husband. They're sorry about the traffic. They're sorry about the rotten employer. But they are not sorry about their sin. In many cases, these confessions are invalid, because they're not even really confessing sin. I got mad 4 times last week. If it wasn't for that traffic, if it wasn't for the way other people drive, I would not have been mad. Somehow we project our guilt on the traffic and on any external thing that is not ourselves. We are confident in ourselves. If it wasn't for those things, I would be perfectly virtuous. This is the strong man that Christ refers to. You are strong. You are confident. You think that you are fine the way that you are. But if a stronger man comes and he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away his whole armor on which he was depending and will divide his spoils. Just for the record, this stronger man is not the devil. Wish I could find the exact passage in the Book of Wisdom. I have it in my book back at home, the reference to the exact passage. It is not the devil who is the stronger man who will take away our possessions and take away our spoils. The stronger man is God Himself, which there is no one stronger. It says in the Book of Wisdom, He hath taken away our spoils. He hath destroyed us by the very things that we have had confidence in. The things that we enjoyed have been our undermining, have been our destruction. And He hath taken them away. Who is the He that is referred to in the Book of Wisdom? It is God. God is the stronger man. God will visit us one day. And He will take away our spoils. He will take away our armor upon which we were depending. He will divide the spoils. And that is why the very next verse he says, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me scatters. Christ is speaking to these souls. Souls that are members of the faith, but gather not with Christ. You were baptized, but you gather not around the cross. You have the faith, you believe the truth, but you gather not around the ways of the truth. We do not gather around Jesus Christ, though we claim to be members of His kingdom. And Christ says of us, if you gather not with me, then you scatter. And this is true. How many times have the evil souls of our parishes, those souls that only bicker and only moan, those souls that find evil in everything, did you know what they spent on that basement down there? They could have spent it more wisely. We need a school. Did you know what they did with that parking lot? Did you know what he does in his spare time? Did you know this? Did you know that? Guess what they do? Catholic souls baptized, Catholic souls who come to the Latin Mass every Sunday, they scatter souls. A weak soul comes in and he is scattered. God counts every soul that we have scattered. He counts every one. And there will be a reckoning. There will be a reckoning. As I mentioned in the sermon, not last Sunday, but on the Saturday, the sermon of the when we had the Passion of the Christ, and the sermon on the death of my cousin Maria, who was supposed to be able to bury but was not able to bury. That during the course of that week, that's 2 weeks ago, there was a soul that was brought before me. But I was busy, too busy, doing many things, and therefore I did not take care of that soul. And I do not know if I will ever see the soul again. He that gathers not with me scatters. It is not enough to be a member of the true church. There are steps that we have to take to follow Christ and to embrace His cross. And this problem of vindictiveness of spirit and anger of spirit is essentially the greatest manifestation of the sin of pride, which was the first sin committed by the angels and then by Adam and Eve, and it is contained in every sin. And the majority of the time, when we commit the sin of pride, it's not a mortal sin. And yet it is called by Christ Himself, and it is called by the saints the worst of all the sins. And the majority of the time, it's not even a mortal sin. It transforms the soul. And our Lord stays focused on the point. He's just performed a miracle. He's cast out the man who was dumb. The devil of the man who was dumb. And then he cured him of his dumbness, his inability to speak. Refers here to the soul also in this state. When a soul sees only the evil, he cannot speak. He is dumb as regards the things of God, and dumb as regards the truth. He cannot see the truth. He is blinded by his own foolishness, blinded by his own vision of his own comfort. We say that anger blinds us. We can't see clearly when we are angry. And this soul is disposed to anger. Even if he is not mad, he's always ready. He's like a gun with the trigger half-cocked, and his finger is on it. It only takes a small wind or a breeze or a small vibration of any kind, and it goes off. This is the way this soul is. always finding the negative in daily life, Christ says of this soul, "If you are not with me, you are against me." What evil thing did Jesus Christ speak of on Good Friday? He could have said, "I'm not having a very good day." But he rather said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He rather said, "I thirst for souls." He rather gave us the greatest of gifts, which is his own mother. "Woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother." He rather focused upon his duty. That's a profound truth. When we are in the midst of suffering, we should focus upon our own duty. As Jesus Christ, in the midst of his cross, was focused upon the duty of his that was given to him by his Father, which is why he said, "It is consummated. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." He is not attentive to the boons that are being given to him, but attentive to fulfilling the will of his Father. But we are always attentive to wounds. Look at that man with a scourge. Look at that man with nails. We see everywhere scourges. We see everywhere nails. Christ saw the will of his Father. Christ gave gifts. And those who do not strive to imitate him will not be saved. And then he mentions the unclean spirit. An unclean spirit has gone out of a man. When an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in searching of a resting place. And finding none, he says, "I will return to my house from which I left." Going there, he finds a house clean and empty. This is the problem of the soul that's focused on evil. Our soul is clean. We haven't committed any mortal sins. We have no mortal sin upon our conscience. I haven't had a problem with the impurities and with the anger and with the violence and with all the stealing and the drugs and whatever problems may have been in my past. I haven't committed any mortal sins for a long time now. I am clean. And Christ says, "Your souls are clean, but they are empty." And an unclean spirit will come and see the house empty. He will go and find seven spirits more wicked than himself. They will come and dwell there. And the last state of that man will be worse than the first. Know this. Any Catholic that goes to hell will eternally regret his Catholicism. The last state will be worse than the first. The indelible mark of baptism cannot be erased, and it will be in hell torturing us. The last state will be worse than the first. We will not look back on joy with joy to that day when we were baptized, when original sin was taken away from us, because it is not enough to be baptized. It is not enough to be a member of the true church. We must gather with Christ. But we always see evil. We hear evil. A woman understands that he is speaking divine words. And she speaks up louder than the crowd, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the paps that gave thee suck." But Christ responds, "Nay, rather, blessed is he who hears the word of God and keeps it." Now this passage is recorded in many masses of the Blessed Virgin Mary and refers to the greatness of Mary. But we're not going to discuss that aspect of it here. "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Blessed is he who hears the word of God and keeps it. Here Christ intimates that these souls who are baptized, these souls that are in the church, whose souls are clean, that is, they have not recently committed any mortal sins, they do not hear the word of God because they're too busy hearing evil. Our ears are much like our mind. Our mind can only think about one thing at a time. And we can only focus on hearing one thing at a time. If there are many, many people speaking in a room at the same time, at the same volume, we cannot hear. We must single out one voice and listen to that voice. Now, if we are listening to the evil voices, then that means that we cannot hear the good voices. We cannot hear the Word of God. And then there is, going on longer than intended here, but there is another truth about doing the will of God. And that's a truth that applies to all life. And that is, human beings cannot do well because they know well. We can't do what is right because we know what is right. If that was the case, there would be no need for superiors. An example. An architect puts a set of plans on a table. It's got in there, plumber, well, this is where the plumbing goes. Electrical, this is where the electrical goes. Here's where the boxes go. Carpenters, this is where you put up the walls and the studs. Structural guys, here's where you pour your concrete and make your foundation. Now, you can know the plans, but it cannot be built unless there is a boss who stands there and says, pour that there. Why? Because I said so. And that is also what it says in the plans. Run that electric here. Put that wall there. We have to hear before we can do. It's just the way it is with human beings. When the boss leaves a job site, the job gets done poorly or not at all. It doesn't matter what the knowledge of the worker is. In this life, it is necessary to have a boss. This boss speaks and we hear. And that's why our Lord says, blessed is he who hears the word of God and keeps it. Not he who reads the word of God and says, that's really neat, I believe in that. But he who hears the word of God and then keeps the word of God. That's why every year we priests get on the pulpit and say exactly the same thing. We've been doing it now for 2,000 years. On the negative side, we've been saying the same thing for 2,000 years. Why don't people get it? You think at some point they're going to figure it out. Well, no, it isn't that way. On the positive side, we need to be reminded, 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 reminded. And then we can go out and keep the Word of God. Do you remember what is said in the sermon when you go back out into the street? Do we try to keep what we have heard? Blessed he who hears the word of God and keeps it. We hear evil things. And the greatest punishment that God can give to such a soul is what is referred to in sacred scripture as the hardening of the heart. And that is when God no longer pricks the conscience. When we no longer feel guilty for our sins. When we become confident that we are fine the way that we are. This is the greatest punishment God can send to a soul. And if we are in this state, we need to pray that we be taken out of it. There are souls, the souls that I am talking about, I am not speaking about souls who are elsewhere, but souls who are here in this building now. It is these souls to which I speak. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And let us pray for a conversion of the heart. A couple of tricks to this conversion of the heart. Change what we're thinking about. I mentioned it many times. No longer think about the evils of every day, but think about the good things of every day. Remember your prayers and stay close to the rosary. That's essential. Be close to the confessional and realize you need the confession. Not just something that you do out of habit. And those are a few tricks to overcome this problem. If there is something negative to consider, consider the negativity of your own sins. And consider how we have so much to be sorry for, that we need to change and become better. It is not our duty to make everyone else in the world better. It's our duty to make ourselves better. And somehow it transfers from ourselves to all others. Somehow it goes out from us if we truly transform ourselves. That's what we have to do. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.